Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and the earth is named, verse 16, Ephesians 3, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This morning I titled my sermon as Power That Works. Can you say that with me? Power That Works. As we read in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Power that works. This morning we are going to talk about a power that works in our lives. So before we get there, that's going to come in the second half or the one-third of the last segment of the sermon. But before we get there, we need to understand certain things as we move forward. Ephesians chapter 3 is a very important chapter. It's going to be a kind of study and sermon together. So I want you to follow me closely. Ephesians chapter 3, if you want to quickly outline that, this is how we can outline Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. A mystery that was revealed to Paul. Can you all say mystery? A mystery that was revealed to Paul. Verses 7 through 13, a ministry that was handed over to Paul. And verses 14 to 21, Paul's prayer for the believers in the church. So what are those things? Number one, mystery. Number two, ministry. Number three, prayer. Can you say that again? Number one, number two, number three, prayer. Ephesus itself was a great city during the time of the apostles. If we can have the next slide. It was situated in modern Turkey. Now today, where Turkey is, that's where the city of Ephesus was situated. It was a major port to enter into Asia Minor during that time. The population of the city of Ephesus during the time of Lord Jesus Christ and during the time of the apostles was approximately 300,000 people. There were 300,000 people were living in the city of Ephesus. And there was a temple known as the Temple of the Goddesses of Diana. So that temple was regarded as one of the seven wonders of the world during that time. So around the Temple of Diana, there was a community. And that community housed artisans. Artisans are the ones who make articles. They make coins. They make statues. And they also make other temple articles which were used to worship the Queen Diana or the Goddesses Diana. Diana was also known as a fertility goddess, and that drew pilgrims from all over the world during that time. Now what happened when Paul went there and ministered? There was a church. There were a couple of people came together and they formed a church, and they went around. You know, church doesn't keep quiet. Church always makes noise, sound. Church doesn't really keep quiet. Wherever they go, what do? They talk about Christ. Wherever they go, they bring the love of Christ. Wherever they go, they deliver people from bondage. That's what church does. That's what church is supposed to do. And there are many temple worshippers. They become followers of Lord Jesus Christ. The preaching of the gospel started changing their lives. You know what? Their business were threatened. Because not many people are buying those articles from those artisans now to go and, you know, worship the goddesses Diana. So the business was coming down. So that really stirred up a riot against Paul, if you remember the story. Now, Paul is writing these epistles to the church. The church was going through a problem during that time. You know, he was finding it difficult in the church. There were converted Jews. Jews came from Judaism and they started following Jesus Christ. And there were also, you know, the Greek people or the Gentiles who got convinced that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And the Jews and the Gentiles, they got together in the church. And they were not living in harmony as one brother and sister in Christ. And Paul also was seeing, you know, the mix of Greek and Jewish culture getting into the church, adulterating the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul was not happy about it. You know, Paul was seeing a problem, a tremendous problem in the church. Now, in the book of Ephesians, Paul was making an appeal to the Gentile Christians there to accommodate Jews with them. Do not neglect the Jews' believers. They are also believers of Lord Jesus Christ. You need to accommodate them. At the same time, Paul is also expecting the Jewish believers to accept them as full partners in Christ. Jews need to accept the Gentiles as full partners as in Christ Jesus with them, and the Gentiles need to accept Jews. Common problem. Even today we see in the churches, people from one region, they won't accept people from another region. People from speak one language, they don't accept people speaking another language. Thank God we don't have that problem. We all speak different language. Amen? We all speak different language. So it's good. We don't have the problem what they had in the early church, but there are many churches going through the difficulty. So first six verses, Paul is talking about the mystery that was revealed to him. We are going to find out what was that mystery that Bible is talking about, Word of God is talking about. Paul is addressing the Gentile believers. If you go to come with me to verse 1. For this reason, he says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. So Paul is talking to the Gentile people and he's saying, talking about the mystery in verse 6, if you can come with me. What is that mixed mystery Paul is talking about? Verse 6, Ephesians 3, verse 6, reading from NIV. Can you read with me? This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. What was that mystery that was revealed to Paul? Through the gospel, the Gentiles are the heirs together with Israel. They are members of one body. They are together inheritors or sharers of the promise of Lord Jesus Christ. The mystery was Gentiles are considered as good as Jews in Christ Jesus. That mystery was revealed to Paul, you know, even before he came into ministry. If you remember the situation when Saul was met at the road of Damascus, when God met him, he went to Ananias. And Ananias was so afraid to deal with Paul. We deal with Saul. And God told Ananias that he is a vessel that I have chosen to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. The mystery was revealed in his life. You know, it had to be a mystery in our lives to accept someone else who is not a Jew. It has to be a mystery that needs to be revealed in our lives so that in churches we see perfect harmony. It seems to be a mystery for people even today. That's the reason they are not able to accept one another in the church. May it be different race or different color or different language or different religion. We need to have a heart to accept because we believe that Lord Jesus has already revealed that mystery to us. The next six verses, Paul talks about his ministry that God has entrusted with him. You're going fast, going further to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. In verse 13, He's comforting those believers. Do not worry about me. I'm okay. Because Paul has been persecuted during this time. He's in prison during this time. And the new believers, the new converts, the Gentiles, they were worrying about. We saw our pastor a couple of weeks before, and now we heard that he's in the jail. Now we heard that he's not keeping well. They're so worried. They were so, so much praying for Paul. And Paul was telling them in verse 13, and he was comforting them, do not worry about me. Do not lose heart in my sufferings. What I need to go through, I need to go through. But I want you to follow God. I want you to listen to me. And now the remaining scripture, Paul is turning his attention to make a prayer for them. You know, that is our focus today. Focus on Paul's prayer. Paul is going to pray for the believers. That's the scripture that we read, verses 14 through 21. Why prayer is important? Prayer is the time that we open our hearts to God. If we pray, I believe all of us pray. Prayer is the time that we open our hearts. Listening to someone's prayer when he or she is praying in the prayer closet will really help you to what is in their hearts, which you would not have shared with you. He would not have shared with you. But when they pray, they pour everything at the feet of God. Now, we are overhearing somebody's prayer here. As Paul was praying for the church of Ephesus, we are just overhearing that prayer. What is he praying for? And there are a couple of things that, he was obviously praying for. And this prayer is very important. This prayer conveys the need of the believers, because he is writing to Ephesus and he is making this prayer for them. And what is the need of the believers in Ephesus? There are a couple of needs that I could list. Most of the Gentile believers were newcomers into Christianity. They were not knowing Jesus Christ. They were so perplexed. They don't know what exactly to do. They don't know how to follow God. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to give. They don't know anything. Paul was praying for them. They got really discouraged in their hearts by the threat they had from the Jews. The Jews group community that were not following Jesus Christ. They were threatening them. They identified them as Jesus followers. They identified them as these people were with Jesus. And they were threatening them. And they were losing their heart. They were also getting concentrated from the Diana worshippers. Those artisans, those business people, they were threatening this small little church in the town of Ephesus. They were also certainly worried about Apostle Paul's health condition, his sufferings in the prison. They became so weak by hearing all these things in their lives. Their heart became so weak. They became so weak in their inner being. And Paul, with all his strength, the little strength probably he had, he's making this prayer. And if you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, there we read what exactly he is praying for. Can you read that with me? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Let's read NIV. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Paul was praying for strength in their inner being. Believers of Ephesus, they need strength inside of them. They need strength inside of them. Today in this world, with this particular situation that we are living in today, our inner lives have become so weak. Our inner life is losing its strength. We are certainly living in a challenging time, as I mentioned last week too. The days ahead of us are going to be challenging. And God is equipping the believers, God is equipping the church today to face those days. You may or may not see a big crowd anymore in the kingdom of God on this earth. Who knows? When people cannot get together, when people need to keep away from each other, you will obviously see the numbers coming down. During last week, during a prayer call, one of the pastors from another province, he was just telling a church that used to gather 2,400 believers every Sunday morning. they have suddenly dropped to 800 and odd. And you can imagine, a big church like this need to survive, paying all the bills, paying all the salary. How do they survive? And you will see numbers going down. What is the future? We are certainly living in a challenging time. Last week we talked about having a tough-minded faith, if you remember. That's needed. And this morning we are here to talk about being strengthened in our inner man. That's very much needed during this time. Quitting is not an option. We cannot, you know, because of such things are happening, I'm no more coming to church. I'm no more following Jesus. We can't do it. Quitting is not an option. And we need to strengthen ourselves to continue to follow Lord Jesus Christ today. Many of our inner being is weak. We have been already handling many issues in our lives. On top of it, we have issues now around us. Too much is going on around us. The pandemic has brought so much of drastic changes in your lives. The lifestyle has changed. When we talk to people, they say that they are all going through work fatigue. They're all going through stress. They're all going through, you know, chronic tiredness, sleepiness. They are not in their mood. They have headache. They have dizziness. They have, you know, stress causes muscle aches and muscle pains. And they become so in their reflex. They don't respond the way they used to respond. They become so dull. It's all reality that we are talking about. They're unable to make decisions in their lives, in their families. Their judgment skill has come down. They are surrounded with moodiness and they get irritated for small little things. There is so much going on just because the lifestyle has changed. Certainly we need what is known as inner strength. And this morning I pray that God, you would speak to us. God, you would open our eyes to know where the problem is. Who is this inner man and where is he? Paul talks about inner man in a couple of other occasions. I want to read a couple of scriptures here. Paul talks about there is a war going on between inner man and the outer man. There is a fight inside of us between the inner man and the outer man. Romans chapter 7 verses 22 and 23. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Can you read that portion again? For I delight in the law of the Lord according to the inward man. And then he says, verse 23, but I see another law in my members. He's talking about outer man, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's all inside of us. We are not just an ordinary being. We are made by God in his own image. And you know how much it takes for us to handle everything inside of us. This morning, I'm just trying to bring some of those things that we deal with, we are made of, to the light so that we may understand better. And Paul refers to his suffering that we have in this world. And he says, the current suffering is in no way comparable to the eternal glory that we will receive. He refers to the inner man. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Shall we read together? Therefore, read that with me. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outer man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. There is an outer man. There is an inner man. Can you all touch yourself and feel? Don't touch others. You're able to feel yourself? That's your outer man. Can you touch yourself, touch your inner man? No? Somebody may touch. Yeah, somebody's touching here, but still you touch your outer shell. You can't really touch your inner man. That's strange. So human body is made of physical material that's known as the body. That includes our brain. That includes our heart. All the organs in our lives. That's how human body is made. The things that we could see. The things that we could touch. Some of you say that, you know, I can't touch my heart. But you know what? Doctors can touch your heart if needed. Right? So the things that we could touch and feel, those are the physical materials with which our body is made. But man is also made up of immaterial aspects which are intangible. We can't touch and we can't feel. That includes our soul, our spirit, our intellect, our will, our emotions. There are many things we can go on and on. But our heart and brain, they work together in such a way to contain all these things inside somewhere to have all the emotions that we go through, stimulate, trigger all these emotions that we go through, store all these thousands and thousands of gigabytes or terabytes of data into our brains and our hearts and muscles somewhere inside of us. Eventually, they process the information when we make decisions in our lives. They all work together. That's the way God has fabricated us. That's the way God has created us. It's an amazing creation. Man is still exploring to find out how it all worked together. Human beings were created by God with a spirit, soul, and body. They are still mind, we can understand. But then again, soul and spirit, where are they? We struggle to understand. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7 says, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it, and the soul will continue to live forever and ever." What are those three components? Can we name them? Name them: spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. And what does it say? Where the body will go? The dust refers to the body. It will go to the earth because that's where it was taken from. You know, some of us may be having questions. What will happen when I die? Common question. Right? Or your friends may be asking, what will happen when I die? This is what will happen. The dust will return to dust and the spirit will go back to God because where it came from? It came from God. He blew, he breathed into our nostrils, and that's where our spirit goes and our soul lives forever and ever. We know many of these things. We know already. I'm just trying to put these things together. We are all not bodies with soul. Listen to me. But we have souls, we are souls that have bodies. We are not bodies with souls. We are the souls with bodies. If you can put the next slide there. There's a lot of work there. We can say that both these intangible entities are aspects, spirit and soul, are hosted in this tangible physical bodies, physical material. Soul and spirit, these intangible entities are hosted in this physical material, which we can see. Are you with me? When, simple example is when a website is hosted in a server, in a computer. You can see the computer and you can feel the server, but then where is the website? You can't really see unless you browse. It's exactly the same. We see our bodies, but then, you know, that's hosting so much of intangible things in our lives. You can keep looking and keep listening to me. It's a beautiful picture that gives an illustration of what we are, how we are made. There are three circles you see in the middle. The first one, the blue one, is the spirit. The middle one is the soul. And the orange or the yellow one is the body. The spirit is to connect with God, because that's where it came from. Spirit knows only God, and it knows a little bit of your soul. So spirit connects with God and gets the information, shares the information with God, and it tries to communicate with soul, and soul is linking spirit and the body. That's where soul is. And the body is connected with the external world. For people, when we see each other, we can see only one thing out of the three. We can see only the body moving around, still alive. When you inquire about somebody, "Oh, I saw him that day, he's still alive." How do you know? Because you see him walking in his body. People who died, they are no more alive, but they are still alive. We don't see them because their soul is alive. Now, we are putting all this together, we are trying to define as inner man and outer man. It's easy. Inner man contains the spirit, our spirit that God gave us. It also contains a little bit of soul. Spirit that's responsible for many things, intuitions or discernments. It happens in spirit. Revelation about what we read, revelation about God, we get in our spirit that communicates with God. When I preach, Spirit really helps to bring the word of God, and it tries to make connection with your spirit. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit is trying to make connection with your spirit. And spirit is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, because they know each other. It came from God. Soul, little bit of soul, they fall in inner man. Our mind, our thoughts, our will, our drive, desire to do something, they're all coming from our inner man. Now, if we move to the outer man, we still see some of the activities of soul, emotions. They're all part of the soul. Emotions, our feelings, our passion, our personality, our self, our character. We see all of them in the soul. Soul is also a place where the human spirit, or even more than the human spirit, there is a spirit, part of the flesh, part of the world. Some of the evil spirit at times who are possessed with evil, they all reside in the soul part. It's all still part of the outer shell, outer man. The body certainly is outer man. All the senses. When we interact with people, when we communicate with people, our physical desires, it's all part of the outer shell. This outer body, let's come back now. This outer man is our physical housing where we experience this world. You know, that's how God made us. Our body functions based on the five senses. And it will realize what is essential for us to live, like eating, sleeping, drinking, all those things which are essential the body could sense. Otherwise, we can't live. Our bodies are not evil. Sometimes, you know, we think that the body is evil, but our bodies are not evil. When we accept Christ, the Bible says, our body has become. Body has become? Hello? When we accept Christ, our body becomes what? Temple of God. When we accept Christ, our body becomes what? Temple of, okay, you are on mask, okay. Mask, you can't speak, okay. Our body is what? Temple of, what, Monica? Temple of God, temple of Holy Spirit, exactly. Temple of God, temple of Holy Spirit. So our body is not evil. Never consider our body as evil. Our soul comes into existence when spirit was given. If spirit is not given, there is no soul. Soul cannot come into existence. Soul comes into existence as a being. Comes into existence as a being. We are not alive if there is no spirit. God breathed his spirit into man's nostril, which produced life. And Bible says Adam became a living soul. When God breathed into his nostril. So soul is a personhood of the human body. Soul is the inner man of the human body along with the spirit. C.S. Lewis, he says, you don't have a soul, you are a soul, but you have a body. You know the difference? You don't have a soul, you are the soul, you have a body. Our souls are the personality centers of our being. Our souls, you know, that hosts our mind, our will, and our emotions inside of it. The soul of a person is a courtroom where decisions are being made. When I talk to somebody, you already made a decision. I'll come to you with, you know, 100 explanation. I'll sit with you and then, you know, let's go through this. 1, 2, 3. Couple of reasons why you shouldn't buy that. Couple of reasons why you shouldn't get married to that girl. Couple of reasons why you shouldn't do all these things. Half a day we sit and talk and decide and pray. At the end of the day, before going, they will say, Pastor, I have not changed my mind. I'm still going to do the same thing. Why? Your soul is a decision-making center, or your soul is a courtroom where decisions are already made. It's very hard to deal with some of you. Do you know that? You know that, right? You said yes. It's very hard. Why? Because the decision is already made inside of us. Why is inner man important? If you can go to the next slide. It is our inner person who causes all our outer expressions, like love, peace, joy, They are all coming from the inner man, inner person. Your outer expressions are caused by your inner person. I'm trying to impress upon you why inner person is important. The inner person from where all the motives, the good and bad, all our attitudes, they all come from our inner person. Key decisions of life are taken from our inner person, as I said. It is our inner person that motivates us to see God, not this flesh. Flesh doesn't see God, but inner man, inner person always wants to see God. Inner person helps you to live a purposeful life. Inner person helps you to please God with everything that you can do. It helps you to fear God. You know, everything, inner man, inner woman is very, very important. In our inner man, what takes place is known as God's transformation work. When someone gets saved, the inner transformation work takes the justification, sanctification, and glorification that Word of God talks about. It's all happening in inner man. Inner man is so important. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Shall we read that? Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So our inner man is important, otherwise we don't know God. God cannot work in our lives if our inner man is not healthy. Our inner man needs to be protected. Our inner man needs to be preserved. We need to take care of all the physical steps that we need to take care to protect our inner man. Listen to me for a few more minutes. Our inner man needs to be protected. All of our inner man needs to be protected. How it can be protected? Physically, you need to take care of your diet, exercise, water, sleep, and all those kind of things are necessary to have a healthy inner man physically, spiritually. We need to take measures so that our inner man can connect with God. By reading Bible, by meditating in the Word of God, by prayer, by praying in the Spirit, by fellowship, getting together, our inner man flourishes. Our inner man grows. Try to, you know, keep everything away and try to, you know, not to do anything with God or with Bible, with prayer, with other believers. Try to isolate and try to leave, try to see that. It's very hard because our inner man struggles. When our inner man struggles, our emotions are different. Our health, it affects our health. So inner man is very, very important. As outer man, our physical body loses its strength. When we are sick, when we are weak, when we are aged, outer body loses its strength. The same way our inner man also can lose its strength. I want you to think about the current situation that we are living in. The current pandemic crisis that we are living in. Our inner man has become so stressed when it hears about the varying restrictions, when it hears about concern around vaccine, concern around the variants, the uncertainty in travel. You know, there's a long delay in some of our lives. Unexpected delays and frustration is mounting. There is so much is happening in our lives. Our inner man is becoming weaker and weaker. When our inner man breaks down, there is a point of time, if you continue to allow, our inner man will break down. When it breaks down, the result is irreparable damages. Irresponsible behaviors of people. They withdraw socially. They go into depression. At times, suicidal thoughts. Many things come in our lives when we allow our inner man to become weaker and weaker. It is important that we need strength in our man in this morning. Shall we just find how we can be strengthened in our inner man? And we are going to pray. Paul says in Ephesians 3:16, can you read that with me? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. How can we be strengthened? That all we talked about, how strength can come to an inner man, we can be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner man. Our inner man can be strengthened with power through his Spirit. And Paul writes here saying that the power that works, as we titled this sermon this morning, Ephesians 3:20, shall we read that again? Now in him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know, this morning before we close, we are going to talk a little bit about the power that works in our lives. You know, today many times we deny that power. Power of God works in our lives even today. But we can easily deny that. You know, today, when we deny the power of God, Bible says, we can be godly. We appear to be godly. But we may be denying the power of God. It says very clearly in the last days, if you can turn with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 5, verses 1 through 5, if you read, we don't have time to read, we'll read verse 5. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. What does it mean? We can appear godly, but we can easily deny the power of God. But remember, that power of God is needed for our strength in our inner man. That's what the word of God says. Power of God works in our lives. And we don't want to deny the power of God. We want the strength of God. And that power comes from above. You know, Christian life is not just an ordinary life of reading the word of God, understanding and applying the word of God in our lives. It also comes with the power. Power of God. Throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, we see the power of God manifesting in the lives of people. Three ways the power of God works in our lives. Note it down. Number one, the gospel is the power of God. Can you say gospel? Gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what the Bible says. Number one, power of God is the gospel. A life-transforming power of God. Let's once read one scripture. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is what? It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Gentiles. Gospel is the power of God. You know, today, when gospel is shared with somebody who is not a believer, who doesn't like Christians, who doesn't like Jesus, when gospel is shared, listening for a few minutes, his eyes or his, her eyes, you know, becomes, you know, big, and it opens. How? His heart slowly melts. We see teardrops coming out of his eyes or her eyes. How? There is a power in the gospel. Can I hear an amen? Amen. There is a power in the gospel. Gospel is the power of God. We cannot change, as I said. We have already made a decision in our lives. Nobody can change it, but God can do it. How? Power in the gospel. You know, that's why we need to share the word of God with others. They may appear to be not responding, but the power of God that is in the gospel will not leave them to keep quiet. They will come to God. They will know Jesus. They will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because gospel is a power pack. Amen? Gospel is a power pack. And we need to own the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news that Jesus came down for me and he died for me. He's my savior. He's my personal God. I have a personal relationship with God. That is powerful. That is powerful. Secondly, power that works in our lives through Holy Spirit anointing is the power of God unto service, to serve God and to serve people. Shall we read one scripture? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Can some of you, one of you, read that out loud? Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. You can read from the screen. So what does it say? You shall receive power. So we saw gospel has a power. Now when Holy Spirit comes upon us, there is power. There is strength, and this power is needed for our inner man. Otherwise, our inner man starves, he struggles. Holy Spirit anointing brings the power of God over our lives, and we can't deny it because it is the power of God. We see power of God touching people. We see healing taking place. We see miracle taking place. We see people coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and getting physically blessed and getting physically transformed in their lives. Power of God, power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, very important, very interesting, how that power works in our lives. One day, our inner man is going to be reunited with God. One day we are going to lose our outer man, and our inner man is going to be reunited with God. It is known as power of resurrection. Amen. Power of resurrection. Let's read the scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Amen. One day we are going to lose this outer shell, but our inner man is going to receive that power, receive the resurrection power, and it is going to be reunited with God. Exactly what happened in the tomb where Jesus' body was kept, when the power of God came upon him, the spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. The same spirit who dwells inside of us today is able to raise our mortal bodies into immortal. Amen. You know, that is a blessed hope that you have and I have today. Power that works. Without this power, we don't have strength. I don't have strength. Without this power, when sickness comes on our way, without this power, when problems come on our way, we lose heart. But when we have this power, power of the gospel, power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, power of resurrection, we are strengthened inside of us. That's what we need. That's what you need. That's what today we need. And we are going to pray in a moment. I pray that God may bring you into a point where he may strengthen you. He may anoint you. He may bless you. Just want to quickly summarize. This is a summary of all that we spoke about. Our inner person gets weakened easily by the challenges of life that we deal with. Inner person has to be really healthy to have a joyful and a peaceful, every word is important there, to have a joyful and a peaceful life. If you don't have that joy, if you don't have that peace, something wrong is wrong. There is something wrong with the inner man. This morning we are here to set that right. Key life decisions can be taken effectively only by a healthy inner man. Inner man must be healthy and will be willing to see God and allowing his transformation power to work in the life of him or in the life of her. Inner man must be cared, must be protected, and must be strengthened. Inner man can be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we read, inner man is strengthened by the power through his spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And we must allow the power that works in our lives, power of the gospel, power of the Holy Spirit anointing, and the power of the resurrection. This morning, we are going to pray in a moment. Shall we all just rise?